be praised. We are looking to God this morning, who is the head of my life and many of our lives, and we are not ashamed of that, because he would not get us all together early on a Sunday morning. We could be sleeping or doing something else, right? But he has us here for a reason. And I'm just praying this morning that the freedom that I feel, that you would experience that also. Many times I've come up before you, I've been very nervous. Of course, you stand to proclaim God's word. You don't have the words. If God doesn't give it, I don't have it. I would just say I have nothing. But I have to depend on God to share with me so I can give to you. And I today stand in the blessing of women who have gone before me. And I'm trusting him right now because I don't have this in any notes. So if it was many, many years ago, I always wanted to sit in this chair. I've always wondered, why did they have these beautiful chairs here? Chairs are for sitting. And I sit in the spirit of one of my sisters in the gospel. Her name was Phoebe. And who was Phoebe? She was a Christian woman. She was one who Paul, who you know as the Apostle Paul, who gave us so many beautiful words, she was one who was trusted to carry the letter of Rome, the letter to the Romans that Paul wrote. She carried that letter to the church at Rome, all right, until Paul could get there. Amen. All right, I'm going to pray, and we're going to keep going. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for what you have planned for us this morning and for the rest of our lives. It is my prayer that you will use me for your glory. Bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Pastor Joel, Assistant Pastor Joel, for all that he does. I thank God for our pastor. He already told you who is not here today, but is at a men's retreat. And it's wonderful that pastors can go away and get filled up and be refreshed, as we all need to do. You work, work, work. You have to rest sometimes. You have to get away and be quiet and let God talk to you and go away from the normal setting. I'm grateful for my husband who is here. And not because he's just a nice guy, but because he is my fellow Christian in the gospel. I love him because when I wanted to get married, I prayed. I said, God, I don't know who could live with me, but I do pray the person would love you as much as I do or more. And I stand here today to say that has happened. And we've been married 27 years. Amen. Only God could carry us through that, because you never know what's going to happen. Life happens. Good, interesting, eyebrow-raising moments, prayer moments, all of that. And every day we have to depend on God. Every day. Saved. Many years walking with God, we're all in the same boat. Amen. Amen. I can't just sit down and relax. No, I have to depend on God for every moment, because anytime something could happen. Look what happened in Puerto Rico. Right. Many storms, but this one was different. You never know. I want to thank God for my friend. Cindy is here, and I'm going to come. I got to give her a hug. Thank you. God and your daughter. Sometimes, I don't know if I can do this. I sometimes forget to call people and let them know, because I'll call them sometimes and say, my husband is going to speak. But they say, okay, that's good. I'll try to come, but also call me when you're going to bring the word. And sometimes I forget. So I text a few people, and this lady came. We used to attend a Bible study together in her home. Many times she would open up her home, and we became friends. I love you dearly. Thank you so much. Okay. I don't need the glasses up here. My family loves you guys. And thank you for the love that you've given to us. I feel it. I said to Ralph, how many years have you been members of that church? He said, since 2000. I said, wow, 17 years. That's a long time. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I consider myself peculiar, if you will, like the Bible says. I love people, I'll hug you and everything, but sometimes I'm watching, I'm looking, I'm listening, and it takes me a while to really be comfortable, to be comfortable enough to be free. You understand what I'm saying? Free in your presence. You know, I'll be polite, because I was taught that, to be polite. But it takes time for me, and some of you know what I'm talking about, to be free. Even the Holy Spirit can be moving, and I have to be free in the Spirit to respond a certain way in your presence. I might go somewhere else, and it's a different atmosphere. And I'll hear something, and my husband sometimes will say, why don't do that? I say, I can't. I'm not in control of that. It has to be God, or it's not anything. It can't be me. It has to be God. So you know what? Some of us come here today, we're very burdened down. You know, there's stuff going on. Right? And I'm praying that God will lift you up. He could do that. He brought you here this morning. He's going to lift you. I'm telling you, he's going to lift you up. You don't know how many days I have come to this church. And I love God and all that. But the devil sometimes talks to us. And he lies. You know that. He's a liar, right? Satan, he's a big fat liar. And he will say things to you and cause you to feel so down. And you have no reason to feel down, but he will make you think you do. And sometimes I'll be sitting there and Joel is praising God, saying, lift your hands, clap and everything. And sometimes I do. And sometimes in my spirit, the enemy is saying, don't raise your hands. Look what's going on with this and this and this. Don't raise it. Sit, sit, sit. You see, and I'm telling you the truth, even sometimes to come to church is a big deal. Don't go today. Relax. You're tired. You worked hard all week. You don't have to go today. You've been to church for years. Stay home and relax. Clean the house. That's what you could do. And I'm telling you the truth, when I pray about it, you know, because sometimes God does have something he wants to tell you at home. But many times I pushed against that, and you have to pray, and you have to hear God talking to you, because he does talk. And he'll tell me sometimes, no, go. And I tell you the truth, when I go, I get so blessed. That day, people come up to me, they say things, and it blesses me so much. The message blesses me that day, and I know that is God with me, for me. Who can be against me or you when God is for us? Amen. So I'm praying that your spirit will be lifted, lifted high, higher, come up higher, higher in God. And those of us sitting here, like the gentleman from Puerto Rico, he has a lot to be thankful for. He has his family. Amen. Yes. Amen. He's blessed. And there are days like that too. Sometimes you feel sorrowful. You're thinking about people you've lost, different things, and it will make you feel sad. But there are days when you're very happy, happy in the Lord, and you have to give vent to that. When you're happy, let it rip, as Pastor Greg would say. Why sit in sad countenance? Be happy, happy in the Lord. You know what? Tomorrow is not promised. You waiting for tomorrow? Waiting for what? Last night I was at a concert in Brooklyn with my son, two sons. I took them with me. And they were so happy and everything. And I thought, God, was I crazy? I should have brought somebody with me to help me with them. But anyway, we went. It was beautiful. After everything was over, I wanted to get tapes of the gentleman who sang. And I said to Jerron, go outside on the sidewalk, get out of the church, go out there, take Nashawn, and I'll get the tapes. I'm inside looking, asking them where the tapes, different things, and I got them, what I wanted. This kid is outside. There are two doors to the church, but they're very far apart. One door, people are coming out. The other door, there's a group of women. This kid is outside singing, Jesus, you're my firm foundation, with the group of women and young girls and everything. And they're singing it with him because they know the song. And I thought, oh my God, this neighborhood is going to throw us out of here. This kid. But I said, okay, let's go. I thanked them, let them finish the song, and then we gotta go. But when I think about it now, I said, Lord, thank you. We have a lot to be thankful for. And don't let the enemy drag you down with what's not happening or with what you don't have. But if you think about what you do have, you have a lot. Oh my goodness. And you know what? When I think about God's goodness, it fills me with so much joy that many years ago, we used to go listen to the music of the day and all that. I can't do that anymore. Those songs are not in my mind. When I came to the Lord, that stuff went out, way out. I wait now for the joy of the Lord to come over me. And when that joy comes, I'm telling you, sometimes I could be in the kitchen listening to something on TV, a nice song comes on, and all of a sudden, the feet start moving, and that's God. He just comes in, and he takes over, and I'm telling you, you have no control. That's him. He just lets you move because you're free in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let us just let go and let God have his way in our lives. We come to church. Church is a place for joy. Amen. We're not, thank God, we're not at a funeral today. Amen. You woke up this morning, you don't have a headache. You don't have a pain. Hallelujah. Your foot is not cramping. You have a lot to be thankful for. So much. You're not sick. You have a lot to be. You got to thank God. That's what it's all about. Give him the praise while you can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy, 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 worthy. You wanted to see me dance? Here it goes. He's worthy. If you knew what God has planned for you, you would dance too. every chance you get, hallelujah, you will break out of yourself and dance like David danced. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You wouldn't care what fell off of you. Hallelujah. You would just dance because you couldn't help yourself. Hallelujah. When that Spirit of God hits you, you don't care what you got on. You don't care how your hair looks. That's it. It's all about God. It's all about God. Whatever you want to do with me, God, do it. Fill me because I'm yours. I want to be used by you. Hallelujah. And I'm very conscious of the time because we have to do communion. But God's going to show you how he can do it and get everything done in decency and in order. The book we're looking at this morning is Romans. I told you already about this letter a little bit with Phoebe bringing it. Phoebe also was a deaconess, as I am here also. This letter was written by Paul on his third missionary trip. See, some of you thought we were the only ones who did missionary trips and other churches, but we got that from Paul. And you'll hear more about some of the other places he traveled to. He spent 3 months in Greece. That's from Acts 20, chapter 20 and the third verse. And he recommended Phoebe, the deaconess from Centuria, which is the eastern seaport of Corinth, to carry the letter to Rome for him. She was a first century Christian woman. Now, you might say, there are all these letters in the Bible. They call them epistles. And you might say, well, you know, different ones are written for different reasons. Paul wrote different things. Other people also wrote letters. But why was this letter written? Paul planned to leave Greece to go to Palestine with funds he collected from the Gentile churches. See? Like we do. We collect funds. They did the same things. We're just following the pattern, what was already done before. It was for the poor saints at Jerusalem. He felt that this action by the Gentiles, if he could tell the Gentiles, the ones who were the new believers, weren't the original Jews, but the ones who were made a way for. Amen. Grafted in, that God had a special spot for. If he could gather them and say, you know what? You guys, let's take an offering. You will show support to your brothers and sisters in Palestine, and you will demonstrate the unity of the church. We're still doing this today, right? When we hear about things, the gentleman just said it. We do things to help others, to show God has unity. Even though you're way over there, we understand and we're here and we're going to help you because God has us over here. And when we need help, you may be the one that has to help us. Then Paul planned to go to Rome and then to Spain. Now you know why many of us like to travel. Traveling is beautiful. God puts that in the heart. You go places, you see different things, you experience different things among other people. You go all the way over there, you'll see God over there too. Amen. Last night at the concert, the gentleman who was one of the main ones to sing, they put him on last. He was, I guess you would say, the main attraction. I met a woman in a dollar store. This is how that concert came about. Listen to this. Met a lady in a dollar store in Baldwin. I don't like dollar store that much. My husband, he'll go there. He likes different things. He calls me, you want something? No, I don't want anything. I always think there are stores with cheap stuff. So God will talk to you, you know? And he used the unusual things. I go with this little couple that they have adopted me. go with them one day to the dollar store. The lady likes to buy the bread and different things. And I see 2% milk in a carton. I drink 2% milk. I say, oh, that's a good idea. I read the carton carefully, make sure the ingredients, I can understand what's in it. And I say, you know what? I'm gonna get this. I'll get this because just in case we run out of milk and I think I'm gonna get to the store the next day, we'll have extra milk here that doesn't have to be refrigerated. Interesting. That led me into dollar store. So one day, I needed more milk, right? I go straightway to the dollar store, Baldwin. I know where it is, I know what shelf it's on, and I get me three of them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And while I'm going towards my milk that I want to get, this lady, we look at each other. You know, you see people, some people you smile at, some people you say hello. This woman, I says, hello. She says, hi. The way she said hi was like, that's a different kind of high. I like that high. That's a nice high. There's kindness behind that high. There's love behind that high. And I didn't talk to her too much then. Said hello, kept on going. Next thing you know, I meet her in another aisle. God had put my eyes on some little glassware. I'm looking at the glassware, trying to think, should I get it, shouldn't I? And we start talking. That's it. The rest is history. She starts talking about a program she's going to have on Saturday. It was like Tuesday. Next thing you know, she gives me the information. I go. While I'm at her church for that tea they had, I meet the speaker who's having this concert that we went to last night. The speaker didn't announce it during the program, but she announced it at the very end. I said, she should have announced it while the people, you know, when she had the floor, that way more people could come. But it was for me to come. And she said at the end, oh, she said, if you're not busy, I'm having this gentleman, Jason Hendrickson, come to my church. I said, and give a concert. I said, Jason Hendrickson, I know him. I've seen him open up for people before. Give me, if I can come, I'll come. And that's where we were last night, because God works everything together for good. We have to travel sometimes. This letter was one of instruction, touching on the main truths of the gospel. And that's one thing I love about God's word. It will give us instructions. If we need to know how, why, it's in there. As with our children, God loves us very, very much. You see this cross up here? He loves us. He loves us so much, he died for us. What you love, you're going to protect, you're going to do everything you can for, to share everything you can so that what you love can be okay and survive even when you're not there. That's what I love about God. He gives us instruction. And a lot of people, even in the church, okay, your shoes might get tight. Sometimes things have to be said. People don't like it. Young people could get so mad. Old people too. Older, I can't say the word, older. Mature. Mature people to get so mad when something is said. But you know what? When that happens in the church, when something comes across and you get bloody mad, I'm not talking about the blood that Jesus shed. You gotta say to yourself, God, speak to me about that. Why am I getting mad about that? Maybe you're trying to tell me something. And I'm telling you this morning, from God's mouth, he loves you. I like that, Joel. When he corrects you, that's love. My children, I love them. When they do bad things, it's not cute. I tell them, stop it. I don't like you to do that. That's not characteristic of what we are about. And it certainly isn't characteristic of what God is about. And you're not going to do that. Stop it. Whatever's telling you to do that, that's not nice. You have to stop it. As my mother used to say, nip it in the bud. And it's done. Amen. After that, consequences. And God does us like that too. Because he loves us. Anything he's ever told me, I may have gotten upset with it. But you know what? Today, it blesses me. Blesses my heart. Pastor talked about this, but God wants it to come back again with my husband and I. We knew we wanted to get married. We could not get together. And you know what I'm talking about, get together. We could not be together sexually before. And there were old people that God even sent, a lady, mature. There were mature people. I remember this one mature woman, she told us, we went to visit a guy in the hospital one day, and she saw us together. And thank God, when you see stuff, sometimes you have to say stuff. Not just in the community to call the police or whoever. You have to say it to each other if you love each other. She says to us, hello, how are you, whatever. Don't get too close. I was like, okay, thank you. We walked away, went our merry way, and that word ministered to me over and over, because even though we were Christians, even though we loved the Lord, there were times when we were tempted to get too close, and her words would come back to us. And I would say to Ralph, mother, Gowdy, he could repeat, said, don't, and we didn't. And thank God, today, we could be thankful that we didn't do that. We can be an example that God can keep you. And you might say to me, but what if I already did it? I already made a mistake, it's too late. No, it's not too late. I'm saying it today. Stop it today. Amen. Trust God to give you the strength to stop today. You love him, you will obey him. You will say, I'm scared of what God might let happen if I do what I know he's telling me not to do. And I'm telling you, if you obey him, he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you out of your socks. You hear me? Truly bless you. He loves you. He gives you instructions. Since the Gentile needs were similar, whether they were in Rome or Colossae, there is a universal note of teaching. We could go across the earth with the same Bible, give them the same message, and it will apply because we're all the same. We go through the same things. We're made out of the same stuff. Dirt. The same. We're all the same. You could dress up the dirt. You could put high heels on the dirt. You could put a leather jacket on the dirt, Mr. Cool. All of that. Amen. You could put pearls on the dirt. But it's still the same. We're all the same. Today I want to share with you about God's freedom. You want to be free? You want to do what you want to do? Get in God. He will allow you to be a blossoming flower, a butterfly. But he will allow you to do it in him. And when he comes into your spirit and increases you and gives you the power to expand you, People will look upon you and it will be beautiful. Beautiful. And like Pastor said, you won't take it as like an air pump. It won't pump you up. It will bless you. It will humble you. You will say, sometimes I don't even believe they're saying that's me. Because I know if it wasn't for God, I couldn't even be anything. I would have been headed on a different road, a road that the enemy planned for me. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? It's a question. What are we going to say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You want God to keep forgiving over and over and over? Why you do that to him? Why should we do that to God? God forbid. I always want to say that. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The problem is, are we dead to sin? In his word, he says, if we confess our sins, how do I get dead to my sins? How do I make my sins die? I have to say something. If we confess our sins, just tell them. You know what they are. Nobody has to point them out. He is faithful and just to forgive us. That's what he does. He's always the loving, forgiving God. And cleanse us. He will wash us clean from all unrighteousness. And you know what? You're just like everybody else because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody can put their nose in the air. Not me. Oh, yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? Yes, it was you that had your hand in that cookie jar. We all did until God comes to us and we realize, God, we want you. We want your life. Help us. Help us. We don't want God to give us over to a reprobate mind. He talks about that in Romans 5. I would not want that. Don't turn me over, God, to the dogs or the wolves. No way. Mm-mm. As there's a song that says, you want to know what the cure is? Jesus is the cure. He is the cure. He's real. He's really real. When everything else is pans out, he comes through. If you believe, he will come through. And you know what? Even if you don't believe, he'll still come through because he's God. And he knows how to show you what he's all about. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, remember the baptism at the Atlantic Ocean there? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? When we got baptized, we were signifying, I'm dying under that water, I'm going down. Therefore, verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my gosh. So who are we trying to be like? Christ. My idols are not these people that flash on the TV. My idol is the Lord. I'm worshiping him. I'm serving him. I want to look like him. I want to be like him. Because those people, they don't even know themselves what they're doing. They're doing something to get money, to raise the attention. People don't realize. Most times they'll come off those stages and you wouldn't even recognize them because they try to look down so nobody won't recognize them. They don't want the publicity, some of them, and the glory and all this. They want to be left alone. We want to look like Christ. When we come to Christ truly, he makes us new. All things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. New, new, new. You might look the same, but you're not the same. When you made up in your mind, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind has to think and change. Say, I want to be different. I want God. I need you, God. If you're really real, show me. And he will show you. I am a witness, he will show you. People will see you after you confess that. And he will forgive you when you confess it. And they'll look at you and say, but you do look the same. You got the same coat you had before. You got the same shoes you had before. But something is different. What is it? I don't know. I was in the mall with my little couple that adopted me. I was in the mall with them. We were supposed to go straight to Applebee's for dinner. The lady who runs the show says, we're going to go to the mall to walk around for a while because we need some exercise. We don't want to just go straight to the table. Okay, so I take them to the mall. Then we go to dinner, but at that mall, you know, I do what she wants. She's in charge. And we go, we sit, she wants to sit. Oh, we go here, we walk over there. She buys two different foods. She wants to have it for during the week, whatever. While we're there, we sit in this area, we see these people, three of them. They speak, we say hello. One of the men, while she goes to get the food that she wants to buy, one of the men says to me, you are a religious woman, aren't you? I says, if you call it that, okay, yes. Yes, I won't insult his intelligence. Yes, I am. Why would he think that? Why? And I just sat there and we kept talking about other things. And I said, God, I thank you because he didn't mistake me for something else. If I would have looked a certain way, he might have thought I was a prostitute. If I would have looked a certain way, he might have thought I was like one of those rock and rollers. But he said, aren't you a religious woman? And I said, yes, I'm not ashamed. I said, yes, yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we cannot be ashamed of Christ. I'm done after this. For if we have been planted, I can't see that clock too good, 11:28. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. My, my, my. Whew. Okay. If we're planted in his death, right? I have a bush in front of my house. Okay, that bush, it's always been beautiful. The grass was too, always beautiful. We didn't have to do much maintenance. We had lawn people, you know, we had hired. So I guess they knew what to do. They kept it nice, nice. All of a sudden, one of the big bushes that I love so much, I fell in love with the house because of the front, how it looked so beautiful. This bush, it began to have a problem. One nice, I'll say, big oval circle started to surface, and it became sparse in that area, very sparse. I'm like, what's going on with this bush? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I when our lawn started getting messed up and brown, it was a rough summer. It was a hot summer. So a lot of people had some browning. I read up on it, and I got some things. We're going to take care of it. We all fired the landscaper because he didn't do a good job, we thought. It was like seven of us. And the Johnsons decided we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to become landscapers now. So I read all up on it. I got my materials, put the different things on. One thing I put on it, I shouldn't, fertilizer. You can put the fertilizer. That's one of the things you can put. You put the seeds, planted, you put the fertilizer. But there's a problem. I put the wrong fertilizer. I thought you could just get any fertilizer. It didn't say spring fertilizer, winter fertilizer. I put it, and it killed the grass. Everywhere I put that fertilizer was worse than ever. I couldn't even focus on the bush. I was so upset about the grass. Summertime, a time you like to entertain. Look at this awful lawn. I felt awful. Then the bush, all right, the man comes, we asked many people. We saw people, I wrote down every landscape, I would see them driving. Okay, I'll call them. None of them call. None. They didn't call. We saw a man down the street, Ralph talked to him. Come, he never came, never called. This one guy, I said, let me call him. I had his card. I said, let me call him. I called him. He shows up with this hat on, this cap. I love Jesus. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's nice. I know about that. I love him, too. We start talking. He's a Christian. He's a minister, even. We start talking. He tells us what's going on. By what he said, I knew that he knew what he was talking about. I knew. I could tell. He even noticed the bush. He told me, look in the bush. I said, yes, the bush. It's not a burning bush like Moses had, but it is talking to us. The bush, yes, the bush too. Not only was it browning, it had a disease. It had a disease. It had these little balls forming. I didn't even see the balls for the browning. I couldn't see that because my eyes were not trained to see that. And you know what he said? First, I said, so you could take care of that too? Yes, I can. And what are you going to do? Well, I got to bring some special spray, but I got to kill it. I said, kill it. Mm-hmm. Because what's diseasing it has to come out. I said, ooh, I like that. That's a good sermon. Whatever is causing the problem, everybody could see it, but you. You're looking, but you can't see it. If you want God to deal with it, Jesus, remember that was on that man's cap? Want him to handle it? You want him to fix it? He knows everything, you know, about it. It's got to come out. And you know what? You are not in charge of exactly when. He'll come back when it's convenient for him. You asked him, let him take care of it. He's going to bring the spray. He's going to bring what's needed, and he's going to take care of it. And then you just have to wait. Wait on him. He's going to put what needs to go on it, and guess what? Before you know it, it's going to be beautiful again. Just like when the first person planted the seed, it will come up, and it will be beautiful, beautiful. Now, the grass is better now. I look at that grass, I'm thankful, because I didn't know it could get bad. I see the grass. I walk in the house and I'm like, Lord, I thank you for the grass. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy to have grass, green grass. Looks good. Thank you. And you know what he says? Don't let the kids run all in the grass. Why? Because it's delicate. It is delicate. It's still like a baby. You can't just trample it. You have to be careful with it. It will get strong. It's going to get strong, but it's going to take time. And we are like this. We are like this. We have been planted by God. Sometimes disease shows up. Everybody sees it. We get angry. I see something too, but I can't fix it. Well, call the gardener. You know Jesus was a gardener, you know. He is the gardener. Let him fix it for you. Let him do it. And he will do a great job. And I tell you, you'll be smiling like me and dancing. Hallelujah. We're going to stop there because we have to do the communion. And if I say any more, I'm going to wear you out. Freedom in God. That's what it's all about. Let God take the sin out. And I'm telling you, you're going to be so beautiful, it's going to shock you. People are going to notice. Your life is going to be blessed beyond measure. And you know what? Like the man told me, if you don't take care of that bush right there that you see the problem, that one was going to spread to all the others. I said, what? So like this, when that one is taken care, the joy will spread to all the others. He will join the other beautiful ones. That's how we want to be. Glory to God. Amen.